Well, of course, if you'd rather go back to bed.
All right, all right. What do you want to do?
Would you like to play some gin rummy?
No, I wouldn't like to play some gin rummy.
No. Well, men love to talk about themselves. Let's talk about you.
Okay, get the cards. We played a few hands in silence, and then Linda asked...
Christopher.
What?
What did you think of Mr. Blake, the Lone Star Stranger?
You ever been in Texas?
No, why?
Oh. Well, I wonder if he has.
You mean you think...
Oh, forget it. You know, I've got gin.
Oh.
And now, if you think that I've been away from my cabin long enough, I'm going back.
Away from your cabin long enough? I don't understand.
Well, I just wondered if that precious jewel box of yours would still be there.
Christopher, you don't think somebody's taken it?
Would it make any difference?
You opened it. But you had to break the lock off, didn't you?
Oh, what are you talking about?
Because the lock was filled with solder. It couldn't be opened.
Well, I didn't open the case, Linda.
Then why are you so casual about it?
Because it was filled to the top with just what you said was in it. Nothing.
But...
No, I'll save you the trouble of asking. I had the thing x-rayed.
Oh.
Yes, you can say that again.
Oh, forgive me, Christopher. It was just a sort of a trial. My uncle and I wanted to be sure you were clever enough for this job. And you are clever, Christopher. Really clever. You're the only man I ever met who's smarter than I. Christopher?
Hmm?
Would you consider kissing me goodnight?
Yeah, I'll consider it. When I finally got back to my stateroom, the jewel case was no longer under the bed where I'd put it. But I think that as I went to sleep again, I may have had a smile on my face. The days that followed were filled with shuffleboard, and the nights were filled with dancing. Jim Blake, the Texas steer, was usually close by, but in time he got used to him, as you would a bad head cold. Every night when I turned in, I could expect to find another humorous little message tucked under my door, such as, roses are red, violets are blue, sugar is sweet, and you'll be a long time dead. Meanwhile, in odd moments with Linda, I managed to get a little more information about sugar growing and refining. One moonlit night, when we were together on the boat deck.
Isn't it magic, darling? Isn't it simply magic? Christopher, I'm talking to you.
What? Oh, I'm sorry.
What are you thinking about?
Oh, sugar, I guess.
Oh.
Now, you say this Southern Cross Company is selling sugar at a price that is actually below your cost.
That's right.
Well, are your costs higher than they should be?
They're as low as any in the industry, and I don't want to talk about it now, darling.
Oh, perhaps they may have developed some new and better method of refining
sugar. Possibly. That's what you're supposed to find out. Christopher.
Hmm?
I'm cold.
A few days after leaving Honolulu on the way to Manila, we entered a bank of thick fog, like a damp, clinging shroud. And it was in the fog that tragedy struck, suddenly and without warning. I was standing at the rail near the stern, looking out at nothing, listening to the foghorn and the beat of the ship's engines, when... Well, I couldn't see a thing. I ran in the direction of the sound. Groping through the fog, I found a white coat flapping emptily, caught in a boat davit. It was Linda's coat.
You have been listening to Hank's Gumshoe OTR.
It was an apparently harmless mission that Anders had asked me to undertake. Simply to find out how it was possible for a rival sugar refining company to undersell his product. Mr. Anders had warned me that the job might be dangerous, and so it was. I stood on deck in the swirling fog, holding Linda's coat in my hands and feeling sick at heart. The liner's searchlights were vainly glaring through the mist. But it was useless, and everybody knew it. I started for the radio room to send a message to Anders. Vague figure moved behind me.
Christopher, who was it?
Linda.
What's the matter? And What are you doing with my coat?
Linda.
I told Maria to wear it when I sent her to look for you, and then I... Christopher. Was it Maria?
I'm afraid so.
Oh. Poor Maria.
An hour or so later, I found Texas Jim Blake in the bar.
Well, howdy, London. Double scotch and soda for my friend here.
Very good, sir.
That was right nasty business about Miss Anders made, wasn't it? I understand you think you heard a shot.
Yeah, I heard a shot. Mm-hmm.
Real on me. Who do you think would have wanted to kill that poor girl? If I was in charge of this boat, I'd look for a gun that had been fired lately.
Well, I doubt if you'd find it at the bottom of the ocean.
You think you'd throw it overboard?
Wouldn't you?
Well, now, I suppose I would. That reminds me of a story I heard about a cowpoke back in Texas. Seems he
Mr.
was about...
Blake, do you ever get tired of that accent?
How's that? What? I just talk the way folks talk in Texas. This ain't no accent, son. That's Texas talk.
Yeah, okay. Oh, by the way, were you in Dallas or Galveston when Maria was shot and pitched over the side?
London, let me ask you a simple question. Why do you care where I was at when that shot was fired? You think I killed her?
Did you?
In Texas?
Yes, yes, I know. In Texas, they shoot men for less than that.
You're joking me again, London. Hey, you know, London, I've been thinking. Now, naturally, I know Miss Lynn and her uncle is interested in the sugar business in the Philippines, and just as it happens, I got an interest in sugar myself. I'm starting a company named the Southern Cross. You ever hear of it?
Southern Cross Sugar? Yeah, sure. Yeah, I've heard of it. They got a plantation of something like 50 square miles on the island of Negros, haven't they?
Yeah, 50 square miles of sugar cane. That's what they tell us poor stockholders. But I'm from Texas, and I don't believe nothing that I don't see. Folks that run this shindig say we can sell more sugar and cheaper than any other company in the world. Well, I got money in this proposition, Chris. Good Texas money, and I'm going to see for myself. You and Miss Linda wouldn't want to come along, would you? Sort of look over the plantation with me?
Why, Mr. Blake, I just bet Miss Linda and I would be charmed to look over the Southern Cross plantation with you.
Oh, you're always joking me, London, but I mean that invitation. Seriously.
And I mean it. Seriously.
Well, then, that is just wonderful. Tomorrow we'll be in Manila. I got me a boat waiting for me, and they tell me the trip to Negros just ain't nothing. Have another drink.
A little later, I went down to Linda's stateroom to escort her to dinner.
All right, Christopher. I'm ready.
Linda, I've been talking to Jim Blake.
Oh, the Texas steer?
He's not funny. I think he's a killer. Yes, I think he tried to kill you and got Maria instead. Now he wants you and me to visit the Southern Cross Plantation. Says he has Texas money in it.
But why, Christopher? I don't understand. Why would he...
It's either a trap or a showcase. I don't know.
Well, I still don't understand.
Neither do I. Whatever it is, though, you're going to stay in Manila while I take a look at it. There's no point in us both taking a chance. I left Linda in Manila at the local office of her uncle's company. Blake and I went on together to the island of Negros and the huge Southern Cross plantation. It rained constantly and the growl of distant thunder was almost continuous. The director of the plantation was a suave, expressionless fellow named Juan Ibarra, who used words as if he were translating from another language.
Coming from the southeast by the weather, senores. Very bad storm.
Well, if you haven't been in a Texas storm, you don't know what a storm is really like. What time is it, Cliff?
It's about 4.
Well, now, let me see. We've done pretty well for one day's inspection. We've gone through the refinery from top to bottom, saw the loading dock, drove through one of the fields of sugar cane. Well, what do you say we go back to the house and have us a drink?
Yes, I could use one, Blake. Back to the director's house, I asked a few innocent questions. Ibarra?
Si, senor.
Tell me, how many men does it take to do the work on a place this size?
It takes 7,000, maybe.
7,000? Oh, that's a lot of men. Where do you keep them?
Where do I keep them?
Yes, I mean, where do they live?
Si, on the plantation. Here they live.
Yes, I know that.
Hey, Chris, I've been thinking about that refinery. Are you much of an engineer?
Enough to understand the simple process as refining sugar. It seemed like a good plant.
As you say, Senor London, the plant is good, but It is just the same like many others. No difference.
Yes, yes, I suppose so. But I was asking about the workers on the place. Hey, what's that? Oh, wait a minute. Stop the car. Look, I said stop the car.
No, Senor London. It is not to be wise to interfere.
Well, they're whipping that poor devil to death.
Maybe he deserves it. All right, Barr?
Nobody could deserve punishment like that.
It is the only thing the bad ones understand, Senor London.
And the subject was dropped. Just like that. A few moments later, Ibarra led Blake and me out in front of the plantation house and drove the Jeep away to the garage. For a moment, we stood together in the rain. He seemed a little subdued.
Yeah, too bad about what we seen back there. I guess they ain't real human, or they're more like animals.
Would you beat a horse or a dog to death?
As a stockholder in this here plantation, I'm going to talk to Ibarra about that. You coming in?
No, you go on ahead. I'll be right with you.
Okay, I sure am sulking. Rain ain't nothing like Texas rain.
There was something ominous about the place. Not just the steady rain or the thunder grumbling in the distance. Not just the cruelty I had glimpsed in the sodden jungle. No, it was something more. It was something worse than I was willing to let myself believe. As I entered the house, I saw that the living room was dark and apparently deserted. But there was a log blazing in the fireplace, so feeling damp and cold, I went and held my hands to its warmth.
Senor London?
What? Oh. Well, hello.
I am Dolores, Senor London.
Hello, Dolores.
I was told you like scotch and soda.
Yes.
I have a drink already for you. Here, by the fire. A drink for me, too.
Well, you or somebody seems to think of everything. No, thanks. You're Mrs. Ibarra, I suppose?
No, senor. I am just Dolores.
Oh.
Is your drink as you would have it?
Yes, just right, Dolores.
Senor.
Yes, Dolores. Just right.
How can I say it? I had expected you to be the same. Like other friends of the cakey bar. But you are different. So very different.
Save it. I suppose you were told to get me to talk. Another time it might be kind of pleasant to play that game. But not tonight. I'm tired.
Senor.
There's something I want to ask you, though, even though I don't expect an answer. If I asked you to come away with me, away from this plantation, right now, tonight, would they let us go?
I do not know.
That's the answer I expected. Well, I'm going to change her to some dry clothes. How long she'd been standing there in the doorway, I don't know. I hadn't heard a sound, but as I turned away from Dolores and started to my room...
Hello, Christopher.
Linda, I told you not to come.
Aren't you glad to see me?
Now, Linda, I wasn't hired to be your companion or your bodyguard. Now, I was hired to make one single investigation.
Yes, how's the investigation going, Christopher?
Well, your uncle wants to know how Southern Cross is able to undersell him. I think I'm beginning to understand.
Christopher, I got a wire in Manila from my uncle. He's making some kind of a deal. He wants you to drop the whole thing.
And that was that. I was just to drop the whole thing. But the whole thing was something I couldn't drop. Too much blood had been shed. Late that night, when the others were asleep, I stole out of the house. The center of the storm had veered around to the east and seemed somewhat nearer. By the flashes of lightning, I found the road I was looking for, the road Ibarra had avoided during our tour of inspection. The path wound through the jungle for perhaps a quarter of a mile and then came to what was unmistakably a concentration camp. The miserable collection of shelters was completely surrounded by a high stockade of steel and barbed wire. The single gate was guarded by a sentry with a Tommy gun. One look was enough. Now I knew the secret of the Southern Cross's success. Forced labor. Slavery. I returned to the house and cautiously opened the door.
Well, howdy, Chris. Been out walking, have you? Take his gun, Bar.
It will be better you do not move, Senor Lama. Gracias.
Christopher, I told you to drop the whole thing. Now see what you've done. You've ruined everything.
It's late, but I guess we don't feel much like sleeping now, do we? So let's just sit down in front of the bar and swap yarns.
Well, isn't one of the mob missing? Where's Dolores?
We don't need her for this little party. Come here, baby. Come here and sit down beside me.
All right, Jim.
Now if we're all together, I'll call the meeting to order.
What happened to that Texas draw, partner?
I guess I'm just a big ham at heart, but it serves a purpose. With that twang, you can talk to anybody and get away with practically anything.
Christopher saw to it. The night we sailed.
Yeah, London's smart. He's a lot too smart for his own good. I kept telling him that on those notes I left for him under his cabin door.
Look, will I be interrupting if I ask a few questions?
No, go ahead.
Well, first about me. I assume you have some kind of plan in mind?
Oh, yes, indeed.
Yeah. Oh, that's what I figured.
If only you'd listen to me, Christopher, before it was too late.
Please talk of us as nothing. Why can't we not dispose of Senor London without delay further?
Take it easy. There's no hurry. Yeah. Anything else you want to know, London?
I think I already know most of it. I suppose the Filipino who was killed in San Francisco came from here.
Yes, that's right. Managed to sneak off the place somehow. I see. Naturally, I had to kill him.
That was close.
Scared, baby.
I hate these storms.
Well, I didn't know you scared so easily, Linda. Oh, by the way, was it you who killed your maid, Maria?
Well, I had to, Christopher. She caught Jim and me together and guessed how it was. She said she was going to tell you, so I had to.
You know, Linda, for a nice girl, you're something out of a nightmare.
Christopher, you shouldn't talk to me like that. After all, it wasn't as if...
I think that hit the house. Listen.
It is Dolores. I will go.
There was a split second of confusion, but a split second can be the difference between life and death. I threw myself at Blake, slamming my shoulder into his chest, and we crashed to the floor. I got out of there with a broken left arm and a revolver. I don't know whether it was Blake's or Ibarra's. I don't know how much damage I did, but at least there was nobody following me as I retraced the road to the slave stockade. A sentry was standing at the gate holding a Tommy gun cradled in his arm. I got as close to him as I could, sheltered by the trunk of a huge mahogany tree, less than 15 feet from the gate. And then he heard me.
Halt! Who goes there?
Now listen to me very carefully. I'm giving you a chance to save your life. Drop your gun and open that gate.
Who are you?
A friend. Open the gate and let those men out. And I'll give you one more chance. I don't want to hurt you. Let those men out. Well, if that's the way it's got to be...
She's dead, too?
Yes, Mr. Anders. With the others. When the men streamed out of the stockade, there was no stopping them. But she died instantly with a bullet through her heart.
What she did sounds as impossible as all the rest of it. Then, actual slavery sounds impossible, too.
Have you any idea how much actual slavery still exists in the world today? It's not a comforting thought, but one we can't afford not to think about. Freedom is still something to fight for.
That was Christopher London, starring Glenn Ford. And created especially for radio by the world's most widely read mystery writer, Earl Stanley Gardner. Christopher London is produced and directed by William N. Robeson and was tonight written by Mindrit Lord. Musical score was composed and conducted by Lynn Murray. Mr. Ford's supporting company included Joan Banks, Virginia Gregg, Barton Yarbrough, Ted DeCorsia, Alan Reed, and Ben Wright.
You have been listening to Hank's Gumshoe OTR, the 24/7 internet radio station featuring all the great old-time radio detectives.
Nick Carter.
Patsy, get every boy belonging to the club into the gymnasium.
Why? What's up, Nick?
I've got to make a speech to one of them.
To one? Then why make it to 120?
Because one of the boys knows the killer in this case. And I don't know which boy it is.
Now, the case of the luminous spots. Today's adventure with Nick Carter. There's pandemonium in the gymnasium of the Downtown Boys Club, Nick Carter's favorite charity. For with 1 minute to go in the big basketball game with Delaware House, Nick's boys are trailing by 1 point.
Put it in, boys! We can't let Delaware beat us!
Oh, Nick, only 10 seconds more.
I'm going to try, Patsy. Come on, Smokey! Make this one good! Make it, Smokey, boys!
Oh, he missed, Patsy. Smokey missed again.
Oh, and that's the end of the game.
Well, we took a licking. I sort of hoped that Smokey Beats could help us lick Delaware this year. He looked like a flash when he joined the club last month. Oh, well.
Oh, don't look so sad, Nick. Think how much worse Smokey Beats feels.
Hiya, Smokey. I've been expecting you. Come in, come
Hi,
in.
Hi, Nunn. Hi. Nice little joint you got here, fella.
Yeah. Place upstairs used to be a dance hall. This is the basement. Costs us $3 a month rent.
Hey, who's the dame?
Oh, that's Fran Hollis. Hey, Fran.
Yeah?
This here's Smokey Bates.
Oh, hello, Smokey.
Hiya, Fran.
Nice game you played tonight.
Thanks.
Say, which reminds me, here's your dough, Smokey. $25. Nice pay for just missing a few baskets now and then, huh?
Yeah, I'll say so.
We cleaned up pretty good on the bets, too. Made some nice dough.
Yeah, boy, this 25 feels good in the pocket.
That is pin money, kid. Peanuts. We could cut you in on some real dough if you want to play ball.
You mean throw another game?
Wake up, kid. Wake up. Life ain't all basketball games. If you're the kind of guy that's got nerve and brains and likes plenty of excitement, you could make plenty of dough.
Yeah, Jerry and Gene from your club joined up with Noonan last month.
Yeah?
Well, what do they make a week, Noonan?
Oh, 40, 50 bucks easy.
What do you say, Smokey?
I think maybe this is just what I've been looking for. You can count me in, Noonan.
Good as a deal. Meet me here tomorrow morning at 7:30, Smokey. Bring 20 newspapers and a screwdriver.
What's the papers got to do with it?
Look, Smokey, here's the pitch. You and me is going to make like we're newsboys in case we get stopped.
Oh, I get it. We make like we're on a delivery route.
That's right. Only we don't work for no pikers, though, like regular newsies do. This apartment house is next, Bates.
What do we do here? Same as the last place?
Ah, no. We use a different technique in here. The first apartment on the right. Ring the bell.
You kidding?
Ring it, I said. This is another of the joints I've been casing. Like I said, it's a cinch to look into first floor apartments and get the dope. The guy lives here alone. Goes to work every morning at 7.
That's why you rang the bell?
Yeah, just to make sure. Oh, he ain't in. Give me that screwdriver, kid. I'm going to show you a fancy way to open locks. Light a match. I want light.
Okay.
This guy keeps his dough in the kitchen in a sugar can. He's... Watch this movie.
What are you kids doing there?
Nothing, mister. We're just delivering papers.
Who do you think you're fooling, Mac? I saw you working at the lock of that screwdriver. You're a couple of sneak thieves. Oh, no, you don't get away, sonny.
Get your hands off me. Cheap
little tin-horn gangsters.
You got us wrong, mister. We ain't crooks.
Watch out, Smokey. Get out of the way.
Don't try nothing funny, son. What do you got in your hand there?
A gun, mister.
A little toy pistol.
Let me go.
Don't think I'll fall for that, sonny boy.
You're falling for it, but good, Grandpa.
Don't go.
Nick, what's the rush? Where are we driving to?
I got a telephone call from Mary, Patsy. Insisted I drop everything and hurry up to 120 Amsterdam Avenue. Says my downtown boys club is involved.
It is? How?
Oh, no. Mary wouldn't say.
Hmm.
Here we are, 120. Come on.
Right.
Oh, all Mary would say was that he discovered a murder.
Murder?
Hey, that you, Nick?
Yes, Mary.
A nasty case, Nick. Looks like one of your boys is mixed up in it.
I'd hate to believe that, Matty.
Yeah, well, look here. This corpse is Homer Welland, janitor of the building.
Oh.
Quiet, you boys, will you? Quiet. He was found dead about a half an hour ago. 22 caliber bullet right through the heart. In some kind of scrap before he was shot, Nick.
Yeah, I see the scratches on his hand.
And look what we found inside one hand. A piece of wool torn from a sweater, and on it, a small silver pin with the initials D.B.C.
Oh, Nick, it's a downtown boys' club pin.
Yes, I'm sorry to say.
Oh.
Well, Nick?
Matty, I can't answer for every boy in the club. We've got over 100 members. One or two may be kind to do a thing like this, but... Hey.
Huh?
Who belongs to this screwdriver?
Well, I figured it was the janitors, but I don't figure all these newspapers.
What happened is obvious. Some boy came in here this morning carrying these newspapers, probably to disguise himself as a newsboy.
Yeah?
Tried to jimmy open the apartment door with the screwdriver.
Oh, wait, Nick. How can you tell?
Screwdriver's brand new, Patsy. And there are flakes of metal on the end of it that match the metal of the door lock.
Oh.
See the fresh scratches on the brass?
Holy smoke, I didn't...
The boy used matches for light. Can tell because there's several burnt paper matches on the floor. Also, the match book, which was probably dropped in the scuttle.
Well, that's right.
And the janitor interrupted him. There was a fight, and then murder. Typical case of juvenile delinquency.
Nick, we gotta get down to your club and pick this kid up right away.
Matty, there are more than 100 kids in that club. It'll take a week to question everyone and a month to check their alibis. We gotta work quicker than that.
Well, how can we, Nick?
The wool from the sweater is your lead, Patsy. Check the stores that sell sweaters. It may be possible to trace the sale to the boy who's wearing it.
Uh-huh.
Also check the club. Someone may be able to identify the sweater there.
Right.
Now, what are you gonna do?
This matchbook is my lead, Matty. It's got the address of a candy store on Sherman Avenue on it, near the old Sherman Dance Hall. You know the place.
Yeah.
Gang may be operating from around there. They are. I'll find them. I don't like cheap tin horn crooks, especially in my club.
Close the door, Smokey.
Okay, Noonan.
Hi, Noonan.
Hi, Jerry. Hi, Gene. Fran ain't here, huh?
Nope.
Hi, Smokey. How'd you make out?
Lousy.
Are you kidding? Took 33 bucks in cash and some jewelry. You call that lousy?
I call murder lousy.
Murder?
Yeah, it's like I've been telling you, Noonan. It's okay swiping a few bucks, but I don't go for killing. I'm getting out of here right now.
Running out to squeal to Papa Nick Carter, huh? Like fun you are.
Oh!
You need a little slugging around to wise you up, pal.
Okay. You're talking up, Toad and Noonan. But I can take you anytime. You win bad, Noonan. You're weak. Why don't you play a little basketball,
hey,
huh?
Easy, Smokey. Easy. You'll knock your head off.
Watch out, Smokey. He's reaching for his pistol.
Noonan!
Yeah. Yeah, I dropped him. He'd have squealed on as sure as anything.
Listen, Noonan.
Now, look, you guys got to help me get rid of the body.
Yeah, get rid of it yourself. I'm getting out of here.
Me too, and don't wave that gun at us, Noonan. It only holds one shot. We'll be gone before you can reload it.
You're in on this killing, too. Remember that.
We're in, but we're getting out. Like Smokey said, bucks is one thing, but murder's something else.
If you guys start to
talk... We ain't gonna squeal, Noonan. Don't worry about us.
Just start worrying about Smokey. He'll do more talking dead than it ever done alive.
Nick and Matty cautiously descend the steps leading to the basement of the Sherman Dance Hall.
This is the place the candy store man told us about, Matty. Gang of kids use it for a club.
Yeah, maybe, but it's empty now.
Well, there's a smell of fresh cigarette smoke here. Also, Hey, wait a minute.
Huh? There's water on the floor. Pitch dark in here. I can't see a thing.
Look, Matty, where I'm flashing my light.
What?
The rest of this place is a shambles. Somebody's been trying to scrub this part of the floor. I wonder why.
Spring house cleaning, maybe.
I doubt it, but we'll find out. I'm going back to my car to get my portable lab kit. While I'm doing that, you get some policemen.
What for?
To watch the entrance of the cellar. Tell them to let anyone in, but not to let anyone out. When I come back, I may have something interesting to show you. All ready, Matty?
Yeah, sure. Hey, what's that thing you got there?
A spray gun. Filled with a derivative of folic acid.
What? Come again?
Put out your flashlight and I'll show you something.
Okay. Boy, it's black as pitch in here now.
Watch. While I spray this acid on the wet spots where the floors have been scrubbed.
Yeah? Hey, Nick. There's blue spots appearing on the floor.
Glow like phosphorus, don't they?
Yeah. They burn just like a blue flame.
What I expected would happen.
Look, Nick. There are more spots up ahead there.
Yes, come on. We'll follow and see where they lead to.
Right.
See? I just keep spraying. The spots keep on appearing.
Yeah, sure. But what the dickens is the stuff that's burning?
Blood, Matty.
Yep. Did you say blood?
That's what I said. Folic acid is a recent discovery. Makes the hemoglobin in the blood glow in the dark.
Even if it's been cleaned up?
Yes. Enough always remains to react like this.
Hey, Nick, look. The blood spots lead directly to that old ash pile.
Yes. Maybe there's a body buried under the ashes.
What?
There's a shovel, Matty. Take a look.
Yeah, sure, as fast as I can.
I'll hold the flash for you.
Okay.
Come on, come on, come on, Matty. Hurry, hurry.
I am.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
What's that?
Good grief, Nick. It's a body.
Yes. Let me uncover his face. Oh, good heavens.
Nick, you know who he is?
It's Smokey Bates, one of the kids in my downtown boys
club. Oh, that's too bad.
Poor kid shot through the heart. Probably by the same murderer that killed Welland.
Nick, he's wearing the sweater that matches the piece of yarn found in Welland's hand.
Yeah.
Hey, fellas, what are you doing back there?
Hey, Nick, it's a girl.
Yeah, I'll douse the light so she can't see us.
Yeah, sure, but
when she comes close, I'll flash the light in her face.
Fellas, you're back in the ash bin.
Hello?
Oh, you're blinding me.
Looking for someone?
Who wants to know?
This is Sergeant Matheson of the Homicide Squad. I'm Nick Carter. What's your name?
Friend, Francis Hollis.
Looking for someone in particular, Miss Hollis?
No. Well, that is a friend of mine who wanted me to meet her here, and
I... Her? You usually refer to your girlfriends as fellows?
Oh, sure. It's kind of a gag.
What's the name of the friend you're supposed to meet here?
Sally Brown.
You usually meet her here?
No, I've never been here before, Mr. Carter.
And you know nothing about a gang of boys that hang out here?
A gang? Oh, no, Mr. Carter.
How old are you, Miss Hollis?
Oh, almost 17.
It's 2 o'clock. Why aren't you in school?
Well, I had a study period, and I kind of slipped out. I guess Sally must have been playing a trick on me.
Yeah, and look, you better go back to school, Miss Hollis. You might get into trouble.
Yeah, sure. I hate to get caught playing hooky.
Matty.
Yeah?
Have one of your men follow that girl.
Okay, Nick.
And tell him to let her see she's being followed. Also tell him to make sure she goes to school. Then he's to wait and follow her home after school.
Right.
In the meantime, I'll do a little checking on her and then rush down to the club. If Smokey Bates was mixed up with this gang, there's a chance some of my other boys may be, too.
Okay.
Between Francis Hollis and the Downtown Boys Club, we ought to be able to pick up the killer. Everybody here in the gym now, Patsy?
Yes, I've rounded up every last boy.
Good. Let me have your attention a minute, fellows. A few hours ago, Smokey Bates was murdered in the basement of the Sherman Dance Hall. He was shot down like a dog, dragged to an ash heap and buried in dirt and rubbish.
Good
night. Was murdered by a killer without decency, honor, or shame. Now, it may be that some of you here have been mixed up with this killer. And if you have, I can understand why. If you saw a chance for some easy money, for excitement and adventure, you figured the law wasn't your friend. It was just another rival to compete with. You thought crime was a bigger, more thrilling game. That's what Smokey thought. And I've told you what happened to him. But crime isn't fun. It's dirty, mean, dangerous. If I were you, whoever you are, I'd be ashamed and scared. Now, whoever it is who's mixed up in this has a choice to make. He can come down to my office and let me help him out of this jam. And believe me, on my word of honor, I'll do everything I can. Or he can try to bluff his way out of it. But if he does, heaven help him.
Carter.
Oh, hello, Jerry. Come on in. Come in, Jean.
We're the guys.
Yeah.
Well, fellas, I'm glad you came to me. You're in a bad mess. This is the only way to work it out.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
I guess it's like you said, Mr. Carter. We just started off doing it for fun.
But when he killed Smokey...
Who killed Smokey, Jean?
I can't tell you, Mr. Carter.
Oh, look, Mr. Carter, we'll tell you everything we did. We'll pay back every nickel we swiped. We'll do anything you say. But we can't squeal on this guy. We gave him our word we wouldn't.
Okay, Jerry, that's the way you feel. I'm not going to insist. I'll get him without your help. But there's one thing I do insist on, fellas, and it's not going to be easy for you. You're going to the police. You're going to confess everything you've done. You're going to take what's coming to you. Understand?
Yes, Mr. Carter.
Sure, Mr. Carter.
Good boy. And if it'll give you any satisfaction, Miss Bone and I are driving to Fran Hollis's home right now. And inside of an hour, the killer of Smokey Bates is going to get what's coming to him.
You know where Fran Hollis lives?
Did a little checking before I went back to the club, Patsy.
Ah.
Mattis should be here to meet me by now. This is it. The White Clapboard House.
How much does Fran know about the murders, Nick?
I don't think she knows anything.
You don't?
She wouldn't have come barging into the basement if she did. But she is mixed up with the gang.
Hmm.
Maybe we can locate the killer through her.
Nick!
Oh.
Hey, Nick!
Oh, there's Mattis standing in the doorway. And is he mad?
I'm all in the house here, and for the love of Pete, hurry it up.
All right. Take it easy, Matty.
That bonehead cop let the Hollis girl get away.
Oh, no.
What? Well, let's have it, Matty. What happened?
He tailed her back to school, then he tailed her home.
Then
about 5 minutes ago, a whole flock of girls trooped in here to see her. A couple of minutes later, they all marched out, and she went with them. And my man didn't spot her.
Wow. At least you've got to hand it to her. She's a smart kid.
Okay. So what? What do we do now?
I'll show you. Come on over here to the telephone.
Hey, wait a minute. How come you know where the phone is?
I was here a little while ago as an inspector for the phone company.
Oh, what? So that's the checking up you were doing.
Yes. See, I figured Fran was smart enough to spot the cop you put on her tail. Why, she came straight home from school.
Didn't she let you in the house?
She did.
Oh, my man must have missed you, too.
Looks that way, doesn't it?
But look, how come she didn't spot your voice as belonging to the guy she talked to in the basement of the Sherman dance hall?
Because I used a different voice.
Nick. Why are you moving the davenport?
Just so I can pick this up. Hey, what's that thing?
Looks like a small radio.
Better than that. And I said I was sure Fran would head for home, and she did. She wanted to do some phoning in a hurry. Only I got here before she had a chance to.
Yeah, and then what?
I set this small wire recorder down here on the floor next to the telephone box.
So that's what that is, a wire recorder.
Now look, Nick, wiretapping is out. It won't stand up in court anymore.
This isn't wiretaping, Ratty.
It ain't?
No. Don't have to attach it to the phone. Said you just lay this wire near the telephone wire.
And it picks up what's said over the telephone?
That's right, Betty.
Huh.
Well, I'll be darned. What'll they think up next?
I don't know yet, Patty.
But didn't she see you leave the recorder?
I asked her to get me a drink of water, Patsy. And while she was out of the room, I fixed it, and I'm sure she made a phone call the minute after I left the house.
Oh.
Now, let's see.
Hello, Noonan?
Yeah, that's you, Fran?
Noonan, what's happened? There were cops down in your club room snooping around, and there's been a cop following me all afternoon. Are they wise to the racket?
Cops down in the basement, huh?
Uh-huh.
Hey, that ain't so good.
Well, tell me what's up.
Okay, Franny, listen. I'm over at the Sherman filling station.
Yeah.
I just acquired a car. Beat it over here and I'll tell you what's doing.
But the cops are watching my house.
Look, baby, use your brains. You can figure a way to get out. Just hurry up over here. So long.
Yeah, that's all there is.
It's enough. Matty, you stay here and cover the house. Patsy, come with me. There's not a minute to lose.
At the curb in front of the Sherman filling station, Joe Noonan sits impatiently in a new sedan. As he sees Francis Hollis approaching, he calls out softly.
Fran, over here. In the car.
Get away, Noonan. Nobody followed me.
What kept you so long? I'm in a hurry.
I told you on the phone I've been followed all afternoon. And I had to get rid of some kids, and I had to duck in and out of alleys to make sure nobody followed me here.
Okay, okay. How do you like the car, baby?
Oh, it's a beauty, Noonan, but...
Now, listen, kid. The car's taking you and me right out of town for good.
Sure, Noonan, but...
I gotta work fast, baby, so the explanations will have to keep. Now, this is what you're gonna do.
Hi, Noonan. You talk so fast, I can't...
We barge into the filling station, see? And as soon as we get inside, you pull the faint.
Yeah?
Just drop right onto the floor, out cold. You understand?
Yeah, but...
Just do it, kid. That's all. Just do it. Now, come on.
Hey, you want some, bud?
Yeah, I gotta have a set of new
gas. I feel kind of funny.
Hey, Fran, what's the matter?
Oh.
Fran.
Hey, Bud, she's fainted. Give me a hand. Get her off the floor, huh?
Okay, mister. If you want her help, you can reach.
Why, you?
Get over against the wall. Get the rod he keeps in the register, Fran.
But Noonan...
It'll shoot a lot better than this pinky 22 I got. Grab the dough out of the register, too.
Hey, look, kid.
Do like I told you, Fran. We need that dough, and we ain't got all day.
All right.
Don't think this character's gonna spill anything to anybody.
Noonan, you don't mean you're gonna kill him.
Why not?
Noonan, I won't get mixed up in a killing.
You're mixed up already, baby. I knocked off Smokey Bates.
You killed Smokey?
Why do you think the cops were on your tail?
But Noonan, I don't want to
Make up your mind. Are you with me or do you want to get over there against the wall with him?
Oh, Noonan, please, let me out of here, please.
Okay, baby, get over there.
No.
I'll knock the bolt he'd be off at the street. All right, take it easy, Fran. Nobody's hurt. I just shot the gun out of your boyfriend's hand, that's all.
Sorry I couldn't get there any sooner. It was soon enough to end the criminal career of Mr. Noonan. That's about all there is to the case, Patsy. We've got Noonan for two murders, and we've got him cold.
Yeah, but how did he kill Smokey and Well and Nick? One of the reasons he held up the gas station was to get a revolver.
He had a small single-shot pistol that fires a .22 caliber shell. Would have preferred something better, no doubt, but that was deadly enough at close range.
Oh. Well, if the case is finished, Nick, where are we driving to this morning?
Oh, the case isn't finished, Patsy. As far as I'm concerned, it's just started.
What do you mean?
We're getting out here. Come on.
Oh, but this is the courthouse.
We're headed for court.
I don't get it.
Patsy, you and I are going into that court and put up the fight of our lives for Jerry, Jean, and Fran Hollis.
Oh, but Nick, what can you do?
Get them suspended sentences, I hope. And then we're really going to work on them at the Downtown Boys Club.
You mean Fran, a girl at the Downtown Boys Club?
Oh, I forgot to tell you, Patsy. The Boys Club is opening a girls' auxiliary. And you're running it.
I'm running it. Mm-hmm. Ho, ho, ho. Now, see here, Nick Carter.
Now, listen, Patsy. If I do any arguing this morning, I'm going to do it in court. Those kids aren't hardened criminals. And I'm not counting this case a success unless I save them.
Nick Carter, Master Detective, produced and directed by Jock McGregor. Lon Clark is starred as Nick, with Charlotte Manson featured as Patsy. Matty is played by Ed Latimer. Today's script was written by Alfred Bester. Original music is played by George Wright. This program is fictional, and any resemblance to actual persons living or dead is purely coincidental.
You have been listening to Hank's Gumshoe OTR, the 24/7 internet radio station featuring all the great old-time radio detectives.
My boss is the smartest and the stubbornest, the fattest and the laziest. the cleverest and the craziest, the most extravagant detective in the world, Nero Wolfe.
It's the adventure of Stamped for Murder, with that brilliant, eccentric private detective, orchid fancier and gargantuan gourmet, Nero Wolfe, starring Sidney Greenstreet.
Instructions for this morning, Archie. Your notebook, please. First, Mr. Salins back. Inform him that the Long Island peafowl he sent were most unsatisfactory. Peafowl's breast flesh is not sweet and tender unless it is well protected from all alarms, especially from the air, to prevent nervousness. Long Island is full of airplanes.
Look, Mr. Wolf,
I shall want a dozen chickens that have been raised on bluebirds and a fresh-killed lamb for tomorrow.
Mr. Wolf, please listen.
Mr. Goodwin, be quiet, and then dinner on the following day becomes a problem.
Mr. Wolf, dinner any day is going to be a problem if we don't pay Sausenbach's bill.
And pay it.
With what? The bank account's empty.
Ridiculous. There were $4,000 yesterday.
But you bought that shipment of orchid bulbs from Weinold Gluckner. Mr. Wolf, we need money. You've got to stop eating and drinking beer long enough to earn some.
Shush. You're an alarmist.
Will you, for the love of heaven, stop turning down clients and turn an honest dollar? I've got a couple of prospects right outside the door.
Send them away.
No, sir.
Send them away. Tell them I've gone to Egypt.
Nothing doing, sir.
Confound you, Archie. Obey orders. Send them away.
Miss Kent, Mr. Rodman, come in, please.
Thank you.
Confound you, Archie. You're mutinous.
Yes, sir, and you're stuck with it. This is Miss Gloria Kent and Mr. Rodman. They arrived as advertised with a pressing problem.
Good morning. You people are here by sufferance only. I shall speak to Mr. Goodwin about it later. Yes, indeed. I don't like pressing problems, Miss Kent. What are yours?
My father.
Indeed, I'm on a court of domestic relations, Miss Kent. What did your father do? Beat you? Hold your earnings? Discourage your suitors? Mr. Goodwin should have informed you this office does not undertake cases involving marital or family problems.
But that's not...
If Mr. Goodwin had not been beguiled by your pretty face, he might have warned you and avoided this embarrassment to you and annoyance to me.
Now, take it easy, take it easy. How many times have I told you you don't know how to handle women?
Then suppose you let Miss Kent handle me.
Well, it's simply this, Mr. Wolf. I had some money my mother left me. My father's just spent it without my permission. I want it back without a scandal.
Thanks, Miss Kent. How much? How spent?
$10,000. Father bought a treasure map.
Indeed? From whom?
A pair of swindlers named Cross and Halleck. They've driven him crazy, talking about fortune salvaged from the SS this and the SS that. He's got a map and old letters he studies. He's childish.
Many fortunes have been recovered. Many more await on the sea bottom. How do you know your father has been duped?
Well, I know.
You do, Mr. Rodman.
Yes. Cross and Halleck bought some old letters for me, written by my grandfather from Hawaii. They used them to manufacture the map and evidence. And that's what they sold to Kent.
Father thought he was being so clever. He had the paper analyzed. Of course, the document research laboratory said the letters were genuine. They were. But something new had been added. I'd have never known if Mr. Rodman hadn't told me.
You're a party to the swindle, Mr. Rodman?
I was not. I never knew what they were up to.
Mr. Wolf, you've got to help me. I can't do anything with Father. I can't convince him. Even Mr. Rodman can't...
No, Miss Kent, I'm sorry. This is not for me.
But you must. You must.
Not in my office, madam. No tears. Please, please, Archie, stop her.
Okay.
Archie, when Miss Kent has finished her disgraceful exhibition, show them out.
How dare you walk out on
the... Easy. I know him. You don't. He gets into a panic when women cry, or else he's curious about what Fritz is cooking for lunch. Now, just wait a minute, please. Oh, aren't you ashamed of yourself walking out like that on that poor kid?
That hysterical gamma.
She's lost all of her money. She needs help.
I charge high fees, Archie.
So charge a small fee. Do you want her to starve?
Good heavens. Starve? How monstrous.
I'm not kidding. While you'll be in here smelling your dinner, she and her father will be starving.
I thought you were bringing me a paying client.
Well, this is different. She's,
You're beautiful. Archie, you're impossible. Oh, very well. Go back into them. Get names, addresses, facts. I am not committed to Miss Kent's case, but we'll see. Be a tribute I paid for your weakness for a pretty face.
Rodman and Gloria Kent were gone, however. So all I had were the few facts they'd given me before they met Wolf. I felt guilty about that when he came back into the office and sat down in his specially built chair. He closed his eyes, and I glared at him. Well, how much of you is awake? Mr. Wolf. Well, they disappeared. Did you tell me you were going to help this girl just to get her out of the office, or did you mean it?
You're a gadfly.
No, sir. No, sir. You made a promise, and you're stuck with it.
What did you get from Rodman?
Name, address, occupation. He's a librarian, that's all.
Very careless, Archie. You missed a significant point.
Such as,
How did Rodman discover the letters he sold were being altered by forgery? And used for swindle. How did he locate the dupe, Mr. Kent?
I guess you're right. I'll ask him next time. But what about now? Are you going to get Gloria's money back?
I assume you call Miss Kent Gloria solely in order to annoy me. It does. Stop it. Get Cross and Halleck.
On my way.
You'll find them at the Hotel Bogart.
Wrong, sir. According to my notes, their address is...
Never mind their address. The Hotel Bogart is the headquarters for successful confidence tricksters. They celebrate their victories there while the money lasts. You will possibly find Cross and Halleck drinking whiskey or lunching. Probably both.
I located Cross and Halleck in the hotel bar and lured them back to our place on 35th Street. Wolf was sitting behind his desk with his hands crossed on his impressive middle, at peace with his lunch and the world when I ushered them in. He sat bolt upright and scorched me with a look. Good afternoon, Mr. Wolf. The tall one's name is Cross, the short one is Halleck. They want to help me invest my money. Gentlemen, Mr. Nero Wolf.
What?
Who?
Nero Wolf.
Hey, what is this?
Confound you, Archie. How drunk are they?
Not too drunk for business.
Let's get out of here. Come on.
Wait a minute.
Chilled up, decoy.
You want me to keep him here, Mr. Wolf?
Not by violence, Archie. Come back here, gentlemen. Unless you want 7 years in the state penitentiary.
What? You got nothing on us, Wolf. Nothing.
I have the Kent case.
The Kent? That's a laugh. We're sitting pretty. Sitting pretty.
You are not, sir. You imagine you possess legal immunity. Mr. Kent believes you are a grotesque balderdash and will not sue for fraud. Miss Kent cannot sue because she is reluctant to accuse her father of wrongfully obtaining her money. Ergo, you think you are invulnerable.
Now, listen.
But you forget me. I'm a detective with a fee to earn.
A big fee.
Quiet, Archie. I am determined to get that fee. Therefore, as Miss Kent's agent, I can and will bring action against you. I'm indifferent to her tears or her father's disgrace. I'm indifferent to anything outside of money. You will return the $10,000 to me at once, sir, or you'll be in jail by morning.
You mean that?
I do, Mr. Cross.
Halleck, come here.
Come on, hurry.
Okay. Here, Mr. Wolf. Halleck and I have decided we don't want to get in any trouble with you. Here's your $10,000.
Let's have it.
Give the dough to Kent, Mr. Wolf. Get the letters and map back for us. You've got a reputation for being tricky, but honest. We trust you. Come on, Alec, let's go.
Ha ha! Well, how about that?
Preposterous.
No, sir. Take a look. $10,000. Genuine coin of the realm.
That man Cross is a fool. Does he imagine I'm to be fooled so easily?
What do you mean he left the money?
He surrendered too quickly, Archie. Too easily. And that money in the envelope he was carrying all ready to refund. Why?
Well, maybe he's got a better sucker. I heard him mention a Ben Sanford.
Nonsense. Does he need Kent's forged letters and map to cheat this Ben Sanford? Couldn't he prepare another set?
I guess you're right. Something's fishy.
In any event, it's no concern of mine, thank heaven.
Why not?
I'm not committed to Miss Kent in any way. As a favor to you, I undertook to regain her money. I have done that. You may take it back to her and obtain the forged papers in return.
But,
Silence, Mr. Goodwin, go to your redhead charmer. Leave me in peace. I intend to spend this afternoon with my New World Atlas.
I I left him 3,000 miles up the Amazon with his magnifying glass and drove up to East 69th Street. The Kent house was a broken-down little brownstone, and as I went up the stoop, the door opened and Gloria Kent burst out like a skyrocket. Hey, Miss Kent, easy, easy.
Let go of me. Let go.
What's wrong? What's wrong?
Wrong. Wrong. Nothing is wrong. Nothing at all.
Well, how about seeing your father?
You want to see my father? Come inside.
Oh, for the love of heaven.
Come inside, Mr. Cooper. I'll introduce you. He's in a back room. Come right through the living room.
What else came through this living room? A hurricane?
No, Mr. Goodwin. Something else. There's my father, Mr. Goodwin.
What in the devil? He's dead. Throat's cut.
This is Archie Goodwin from Nero Wolf's office. He and his boss refused to help while they could. Maybe he can help you now.
Stop it.
All I'm good for now is revenge, that's all.
Stop it. Stop it and look at me. When did it happen?
I don't know.
When did you find him?
Just now.
Keep looking at me. Who went through this house like a hurricane? You?
No.
Where did you go after you left the office?
The laboratory.
What lab?
Document research. The place that checked the map.
How long were you there?
Until an hour ago. I was with Mr. Rodman.
Keep looking at me. And then?
I had lunch.
With Rodman?
Alone. And then I came home.
All right. All right, now listen to me. I want you to go to Mr. Wolf's house right now. Have you got cab there?
Yes.
All right, take a cab. I've got to stay here, but I'll call Mr. Wolf and tell him you're on the way. Now get. I called Wolf, told him everything, and he instructed me to advise Inspector Kramer, who arrived with the homicide squad. I gave the inspector everything while the squad photographed and measured, print-dusted and detected. At 3:30, Kramer took me back to the house on 35th Street for a fight with Wolf.
It's a great story, Wolf. Great. Kent buys a phony treasure map. Everybody knows it's phony except Kent. But Cross and Halleck try to buy it back, and Kent gets himself murdered.
Did you find the map and letters in the house, Inspector?
No, I didn't.
Killer was after the map.
Phony map?
Certainly.
Why?
Well, if we knew that, we would know why Cross and Halleck so willingly paid back the money and why Kent was murdered.
Maybe it's not phony.
I'd better see the girl now.
No, you fancy her for the murder.
Well, I'll know after I ask a few questions.
Tonight. She's had a shock, Mr. Kramer. She needs rest.
Look, Wolf, I want her.
Why bother with her when there's so much to be done?
Yes, such as?
Cross and Halleck, find them. And the mystery man they spoke of, Ben Sanford. These are the men you want now, not this poor, overwrought girl.
Yeah. All right. The girl will be here for questioning tonight, though, huh?
Tonight, Mr. Kramer.
Okay. You'll hear from me later on.
Well, you buffaloed him out of that, okay. Say, why don't you want her questioned? Is she guilty?
I don't know.
Well, what did she say when she got here?
She said nothing. She never arrived.
She never what?
She never arrived.
Well, then why did you tell Kramer she was resting?
Would he have believed the truth? She must be found. More important, we must learn why Forge letters and Forge map produces turmoil.
Find the killer and you find the map. You said so.
I said the reverse, which is an altogether different statement. Archie, I want a photograph of that map. Get it.
Oh, sure, sure. Any particular camera you want me to use?
You'll find a photograph at 200 Vanderbilt Street.
Are you kidding?
The lab cannot check the authenticity of old papers without photographing them in ultraviolet light, infrared light, and so on. If this document research lab has examined those papers, they will have photographs. Get them!
He got out of his chair and waddled back to the house elevator. It was 4 o'clock and time for his regular afternoon session with the orchids. I drove down to the document research laboratory on Vanderbilt and got such a shock that I grabbed the office phone and dialed Wolf at once.
Nero Wolf.
Mr. Wolf, Archie here.
What's the matter? Are you lost?
No, sir. No, sir, but I found something.
Photographs?
No, Mr. Wolf, I don't think you'll ever see any photographs of the Kent map. I don't think any were taken.
Indeed.
But guess who runs the document research laboratory? No, don't guess. You probably know. A man named Ben Sanford, and he's sitting right here looking at me.
Bring him home with you.
Home? but it's 4 p.m. This is the sacred hour when you pray over your orchid.
Then Mr. Sanford can join the ceremony.
Hey, how about this place? How about it? There must be a million flowers up here.
No, not flowers. Orchids only. Mr. Wolf has 10,000 plants.
Never saw anything like it.
And you never will again, brother.
Hey, what kind is that on the bench?
Oh, that's our pride and joy. Odontoglossum harianum. Above them, the Van Peter Serrana, and the pink ones are the Coelogiani pandurata. Now, the large object, mulching flower pot, is Nero Wolf. Mr. Wolf, Ben Sanford.
Good afternoon, sir.
Hi. I came along to be obliging. I've got nothing to say about anything.
How much have you offered Cross and Halleck for their treasure map?
No comment.
Mr. Sanford, I'm going to make some assumptions. I assume that you are not, in fact, a document expert, but an accessory to the fraud of Halleck and Cross.
No comment.
That you actually prepare fraudulent maps for those swindlers, and then in the guise of an expert guarantee their authenticity.
No comment.
Now this you must answer. You did guarantee the authenticity of the map and letters Kent bought. It's on record.
All right, I did.
Then will you admit they were forged?
What are you, a comic? No.
You guarantee the value of the Kent map?
Yes.
As an expert?
Yes.
Then you've convicted yourself of murder.
Murder? What is this?
Mr. Kent was murdered, sir. Evidently for the map and letters.